with Joe and Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Good afternoon, my friend.
Wow, good afternoon, Joe.
It's nice to see you. Have you got new glasses?
Yeah, because I lost the other ones. Seems to be what I do on a regular basis. Well, I usually have about six pairs, you know, sort of all around the place, including the garden. But I've lost those ones. And I thought, time to get some new
glasses. They are fancy.
They're pretty now, funky.
I'm just going to describe them because, you know, not the most visual of medium. Mm. They are thick frames and they are a stunning pale blue, dark blue with bright pinky purple tips on them.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Well, my girls said they're a little bit Edna Everidgey.
No, they're not.
I don't think they are. No. And there's no bling on them.
They're not great. But
not
you know
a
what?
Bit of bling.
I've decided I know what to get you for your next present.
What?
There is a colleague of ours who gets around and she has got the most incredible, I don't know what you call them, which you put them on your glasses and then they hang around your neck. What's that thing called? Glasses chain or something?
So you don't lose them all the time.
I'm going to get you some of those.
Yeah, that's what I need.
This is a very special.
I don't want the real old, you know, 90-year-old nano.
No,
there's anything wrong with that, but I don't like that style.
This is bling, bling, bling.
Ah!
I'm going to find out where
she
is. Now, you are here to answer questions. While you are locating your phones to ask Sabrina Hahn questions, I'm going to go to the text line.
Let's do.
Shirley says, I bought this plant, which has grown massively, but since having babies is now growing sideways. Any thoughts as to what to do to make mama grow up straight? I love your way with words. Whoa, that really is on a tilt. Poor mama.
Lizards. So that's a Madagascan succulent, that one. Now, the great thing is they have hardly any root system. So all you need to do, cut all the lower leaves off, pull the whole thing out. Or you could cut it in half and take the lower leaves off and then just plant the top bit.
Yeah, make that family bigger. That's the perfect solution.
Yeah.
Cut it in half.
It's like it's
That's funny.
It's had a big night. Just doesn't want to get up out of bed.
It's looking after all the babies. That's what's happened. Shirley, there you go. Chop it off.
Yep.
Shove
it back in.
Plant the other bit.
Yeah, plant the top.
Okay.
Cut its bum off.
Good afternoon, Brett. What did you want to ask Sabrina?
Oh, good afternoon, ladies. Sabrina just had a question about stone fruit trees, the pros and cons of planting a multigraft versus planting two fruit trees in the one hole.
Yeah, I wouldn't go the two fruit trees in the one hole, actually, Brett. I know a few people that have done that and the root system has entwined each other. So you are much better off having a double graft.
And are there any locally grown ones or are they all coming from that one place in Victoria?
From Victoria. No. In actual fact now, there's quite a lot of, they're usually on Facebook, they advertise, of nurseries that are now doing their own grafting. So...
Right.
And they're better because you're getting the varieties that don't need such a cold climate.
Should we pop Brett on hold and can you give him those?
Yes.
We can give you those details,
yes.
Brett. We'll pop you on hold and you can go back to Brad.
Yep.
And we'll pass them through to you, Brett. Does that sound all right? Cool.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks very much.
Fantastic. All right, it's easy peasy.
Just stick there and Slim will pick you up and we'll get that info for you. Let's move on and have a chat to Kerry, who is in Coogee. And I think, Kerry, you are looking to prepare some agapanthus. Is that right?
Yes, I need to move them. I need to...
Oh, we just lost Kerry. I don't know what happened to her phone line. Oh. I will call you back, Kerry. And in the meantime, let's have a chat to Kate. Good afternoon, Kate.
Hello, Kate.
Hello. I just wondered, I forgot to plant sweet pea seeds on Anzac Day. Is it too late to do them now?
Yes. Now, the thing about sweet peas, though, Kate, is, you know, you can get sweet peas, different ones that will fruit at different times of the year. So a flower at different times. So you can get summer and – so winter and summer flowering sweet peas. So there are the seed companies that sell sweet peas. There's one here. There's one in Tasmania. There's a couple in Victoria. There's one in Queensland. They will have the variety of sweet peas that you can plant now that are summer flowering.
Oh, right. Terrific. I didn't know that. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Thanks. See you, Kate.
Thanks, Kate.
Kerry, I think there's something going on with your phone because it just keeps dropping off. I'm sorry about that. Let's head to Palmyra. Good afternoon, Jimmy.
Hi, Sabrina and Joe. Just a question. So we used to have some plants out the back in pots, and every time you brushed past them, clouds of mosquitoes would come out.
Oh.
And I was just wondering, so we've taken them out.
Yeah.
Just wondering, are there any plants that are not mosquito attracted? Are there any repellent plants that you can put in a pot in Perth?
There are, but you would probably need about 100 of them to be that effective. What you need are bats. Jimmy?
Okay.
Get some bats in your belfry. So one bat can knock off hundreds of mosquitoes a night. They're little micro bats,
What about the Ebola?
We don't want to encourage that. Not the micro bats are safe. Anyway, things like basil, mint, the pelargoniums, we call them geraniums, they're actually pelargonium, with the scented leaves. So all those sorts of things, basil in particular actually, is really good as a mosquito repellent.
All right.
So lots and lots of basil.
Does basil grow into a bush?
I tell you what does is the Thai basil, which is the perennial basil, which you have all year round, doesn't die off like the annual basil, and it's a beautiful bush.
There you go. Happy planting, Jimmy. Let's chat to Faith now. Good afternoon, Faith. What did you want to ask Sabrina?
Hello, Sabrina. I'd like to know how to get rid of Alströmeria, the Peruvian lily.
Yeah. Do you know what's really interesting, Faith, is the new, what they call princess lilies, Alströmerias, they don't seem to spread like the old taller ones. But you're right. I mean, once you've got them, they're a sort of a thing to get rid of, aren't they?
Oh, they're awful. Yes, yeah. They're taken out of my back garden.
Yeah. Now, there is a weed killer that's organic and it's made from the oil of pelargoniums. I can't give you a product name, but if you stay online, Slim there will be able to tell you what it is. So what you do, it's an oil, so you spray it on and it burns all the foliage. Now, you might have to do it a couple of times, but once you've done it two or three times, they don't come back up again. And so it's organic, it's safe.
That's the same year, like you keep doing it the same time.
Yes,
like
yeah.
Like it goes on a bit, you do a little bit more. Oh,
yep.
Okay, right,
yep.
Thank you. Yep.
That should do it for you, Faith.
Faith, just stick there. Slim will pick up and tell you the name of it. So just stay there for a tick. Let's move on to Augusta. Good afternoon, Les.
Hello.
Hello, Les.
Good day, Sabrina. Listen, we had a willow tree down that growing quite prolific, really.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, maybe do they get too much water and rot?
No, they actually grow on the banks of rivers, like Wind in the Willows. That's when you look at the illustrations in Wind in the Willows. I come from northern New South Wales, and willow trees grow with their feet in the river. So it's never too much water. What it can be is not enough water.
Okay, so, in winter, it gets pretty wet down the front of the drive.
Okay.
It started rotting out, and I thought, wow, it's dead.
Yeah, it's not too wet. And there's a couple of other things. They're susceptible to termites. And the other thing is if there's any salt, if there's rising salt, they hate salt.
That could be an issue in Augusta, maybe, Les.
Yeah, so where do I start? Just go and pick another piece off a healthy willow tree and chuck it in the ground and hopefully.
Well, do you know, in England they use willow wood to make beautiful little fences and they all strike. So you get this beautiful green fence because you just stick willow stems in the ground. And within 2 months, they're
That easy to propagate.
That easy to propagate.
Les, that sounds pretty good. I think you can get propagating.
Now, if you're going to, most people propagate in summer, but in winter, you have to come down 20 centimetres from the fresh growth and then take a cutting 30 centimetres long, get some potting mix, really cheap potting mix, shove the sticks in a pot, and they'll sprout within 2 months.
Gary's in Maddington. G'day, Gary.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Sabrina.
Hello, Gary.
Hello. I've sent through some photos. I hope you've got them.
Yep.
So I'm having my front yard developed into what I'm hoping is going to be a very natural bush garden.
Yeah.
So in the centre, I've planted, I bought a Carimbia Belia orange, which is about 2 metres or so tall.
Yeah.
Once it was put in the ground, then it's been sort of flopping over, so I've staked it.
Yeah.
And what I'm wondering is whether or not I should prune the top to strengthen the trunk and the root system.
Yeah. I would take all the branches, Gary. I would take like 10 centimetres off every single branch.
Branch all the way to the bottom?
Yeah, all the way to the bottom. Right. And then the top ones I'd take 15 centimetres off. And have you got it tied to just one stake or two? Three stakes, is it?
I've got three.
You've got three. Oh, good. Because you'll need to let it move a little bit, but definitely take some of the weight off all those branches, Gary.
Okie dokes. No, that's brilliant. Also, I've got four so-called dwarf eucalypts that they've put in. I don't think they're dwarfs, but they're quite narrow trunks, and they also came with small stakes, and I'm wondering whether I should prune the top of those as
Definitely.
Well.
Every single small eucalypt, the first thing I do when I – there's two things. You need to do deep stem planting. So you take off the lower leaves and you plant it at a much deeper level than what they are in the pot, and then you cut the head off. Not a lot, but just tip prune the top. You get a much better shape, a much sturdier plant.
Brilliant. You've confirmed what I thought I should do, but it's good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Excellent.
Now you can prune with ease, knowing you are doing the right thing. And good on you with all those natives. You are going to have a glorious garden there, Gary, full of birds and bees, I think.
Yeah, wonderful.
That's what I'm on.
Good on you, mate. While we're talking natives, I have got a message from from Victoria, who's replaced some of her lawn with natives. Great thing to do. Put cardboard down, then loop and mulch, and a friend just told her that the lupin mulch will burn the new native plants. No. Do I need to replace it?
No. And lupin mulch will not burn native plants. I've been using it for years on my native garden.
Okay. Misinformation.
Never, ever have I had them burning.
Go to Tim's message, who says, Sabrina and Joe, I know people always ask you for trees that attract the black cockatoos. The tree in their lane is always full, up to 16 birds at a time, and proof of their love, you will notice it is stripped bare, he sent through a photo. Tim doesn't know the variety, but it's definitely the menu of choice in his area.
I know what that is. That's a Cape lilac or white cedar tree, we used to call them back in New South Wales. Cape lilac tree, the cockies love them. Now, the reason they're going to things like Cape lilacs and all the other trees is because we keep taking out all their native plants with bulldozers and things. So we've removed their natural food source, so they've had to find another food source.
Yes, and people have been so positive about planting the natives and things like that, so that the cockies have got the food and just keep doing it. And, of course, Kingsley Dixon has done all that work that we were discussing recently. Yep. Just while we're sticking to natives, I'm going to go to one more text. This lovely listener says, Sabrina, they're after some advice as to the planting of a thick native in the Pinjarra area, large acreage. It's a sandy block, sandy soils, and they want to block out the neighbours. They need it to be 4 metres height as they are elevated.
So when they, well, I don't, when they say thick native plantings, I don't know if that's trees or shrubs or a combination of both. 4 metres high, you've got things like you've got all the mallees, the dwarf eucalypts. You've got the small melaleucas. You've got kunzias. You've got heaps of melaleucas get to around 4 metres.
Well, that sounds like a good starting point for them. Then grab some melaleucas.
Rice nicarpus, the WA wedding bush. That's a stunner.
Okay. Jamie's in Albany. Good afternoon, Jamie.
Well, good afternoon.
Hello, Jamie.
How are you going?
Good.
Sorry. Oh, you've got retaining, we're in sandurine type country on the edge of Albany over towards Little Grove.
Yeah.
And there's retaining walls in, they're metre jumps and they're metre and a half deep.
Yeah.
The tree, they had melaleucas and woolly bush and things planted in there previous, and they're starting to, root systems got too big and starting to get a few cracks into the brickwork.
Yep. Yeah.
So we're just looking for something that's got a less invasive root system and probably only about a metre and a half tall.
I would go any of the Eremophilas and also Beaufortia, the Kunzia.
Have you got a pen handy, Jamie?
Yep.
And there are some really, really lovely little melaleucas that only get to a metre high. Then you have got an absolute plethora of grevilleas that do not get more than 1 metre.
Really?
And they'll bring colour and the birds into the garden.
Happy planting, Jamie. Nick's in Boyanup. G'day, Nick.
G'day, ladies. I have a real property and want to put some native trees along in a row.
Yeah.
We naturally have flooded gums everywhere. We're very, very wet.
Yep.
On the higher country, we have Mary.
Yep.
I was looking at swamp mahogany. Would they be okay?
Oh, that's such a beautiful tree. Yeah.
That sounds like a big thumbs up, Nick.
And the other thing I'd be putting in there is the swamp Banksia. You know, Banksia literalis.
Yes, yes. It doesn't go anywhere near as big, does it?
No, it doesn't. No.
That's cool. Is there any tips for planting the swamp mahogany? I heard you talking before about some of the smaller eucalypts, planting them deep and cutting the heads off.
It's exactly the same with the swamp mahogany. You don't need to take the top off those, but definitely do deep planting on it, Nick.
Okay, so, and I mean, I've got a few there ready to go in that I've got as tube stock that I potted up because it's so wet, I like them just to get a little bit bigger before I put them out. They're about 18 inches high now.
Yep.
How extra deep would I put them in?
Okay, so you've got to take off the four nodes from the lowest leaves. So where the nodes are, where the lowest leaves come out, I want you to bury it above those nodes.
Wow, so that could be like 4 inches deep.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Trust me.
Excellent.
Trust her, Nick, trust her. Janet's in Woodlands. Good afternoon, Janet.
Hello.
Hello, Janet.
Hi, I've got a fiddle leaf palm that I inherited from my friend. And it's grown to about 6 feet tall, but the edges of the lovely big leaves are going at the moment orange.
Are they going orange? Okay. So, Janet, you've got it inside the house?
No, no, it's in the patio at the back.
It's in the patio.
It faces east.
Okay. So the fiddleleaf fig, of course, is a tropical fig. And with the cold mornings, what happens is their growth slows right down. They pull nutrients from the biggest leaves. So you'll get that. They'll go orange on the edge or brown, and then the orange will feed back. So lack of humidity, lack of warmth at night time. They like it to be about 22 degrees all the time.
Are you going to wrap them up in a blanket, Janet? Is that possible?
No, I do too.
Yep, I know exactly how they feel. So, yep. Look, things will improve as the weather gets warmer. I'd give it a bit more light if you can. Don't fertilise it because it won't take up the fertiliser. Some people, Janet, because they have a special relationship with all their indoor plants, they actually make them a little tent in the winter. So they get three stakes, little stakes, and bubble wrap, and wrap the plant in the bubble wrap. Not over the top. You've got to keep the top clear, but that's the extent that
wow.
some people go to for their indoor plant.
Janet, are you up for that?
I have more of these rows of bubble wrap there.
Probably doesn't look as nice,
no,
I have to say.
No, I did not know that. Janet, I think that sounds like a bit of patience, and as the weather warms up, you'll be okay.
Some people buy bottom heat for their, you know, you have your little foot warmers, and then you've got the little electric blankets that you put over your leg. People do, for their indoor plants, they will put them on top of heat blankets
wow.
in winter.
Wow. Okay. There you go. Had no idea. Squeeze in a couple more questions. Harry's in Beaconsfield. Good afternoon, Harry.
Afternoon. I've got some magnolias. And they seem to be, they're all in the same garden bed. There's got no scale, plenty of water, plenty of sun, all those things.
Yeah.
And there's one that looks like it's just about to kick the bucket.
Ooh. Okay. So I would suggest you're in Beaconsfield. How long have they been in the ground?
2 years. They're established and the other two are thriving.
Okay. So what happens in Beaconsfield? Is there are pockets of soil where you have caprock limestone. So sometimes, and it may not, it's not that the tree root has hit that, but it's what happens with when you water, it makes that pocket of soil around the root system really, really alkaline. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is that it's got nematodes in the root system, or the root system's rotting.
Right, yeah, because, yeah, I do have a lot of capstone. I've experienced the fun of that.
Uh-huh.
But I, yeah, have been pretty diligent with, because they're in raised kind of garden beds with open bottoms. So,
yeah.
So the drainage is, well, hopefully good, but, yeah, just the one that seems to not be loving it.
I think it's the same with people. Some people are more resilient against disease,
all kinds of things.
All kinds of things. And others are just weak and cop everything. I don't. Plants are really, they differ from each other, and you'll get strong ones and weak ones. Botanists will say that the female forms are always much stronger than
the male. Yeah, because we're built for trauma.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it could be that if it's been doing really well and now it's not, I reckon it's something in the pocket of soil.
Harry, might be time to give it a hug and move on.
Yeah, or dig it up. Have a look. I dig up plants just to look at the root system.
There you go.
No, you seem all right. Get on with it.
If you're up for that, Harry, then you can always report back. Good luck. Now, we were talking about planting eucalypts.
Yes.
And someone's just sent in a question because they planted a coolabah about a month ago
yep.
before hearing your advice.
Yep.
And the question is, would you dig it up and reap? Yes.
Yep. I would definitely do that. It's really thin and wispy, and you've only put it in a month ago, so you've got no problems in digging that up, replanting it, and putting it in much deeper. I'd put it down another 12 centimetres.
There you go. You've just saved that eucalypt. Mm. And I just need to give a little nod to Jay and Maureen, who both sent you photos. Jay's sent you Dame Edna sunnies. Jay, if you're still listening, they are glorious.
Wow, they're beautiful.
And Maureen uses her chain thing for her glasses, and they break easily, or her skin makes the chain discolour. She put on her thinking cap, purchased some flexible soldering iron wire and made this. Maureen says, it does look daggy, but I don't care.
That is so – I never would have thought of soldering iron, I have to say.
I love your ingenuity, Maureen. Good on you. Thank you, Sabby.
It's my pleasure. We'll do it again next week, Joe.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.